All right, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to talk to you about something rather serious tonight. But really, it would, you know, it'll explain to you a little bit. I guess what I can do is, by preaching this, it'll do a few different things. But let me pray and get right into it. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us now. Help us, dear Lord, as we look into your word, as we search out the scriptures, Lord, and as we've seen the experiences of life and have lived them, Lord, I pray that they would go to help someone else, Lord, the things that you've brought me through and showed me that they would help others. In Jesus' holy name we pray and ask this. Amen. You know, I thought about this the other day when I was reflecting on a lot of things. And I've thought about it for the past couple months, probably, quite a bit, this text. And I'm not going to finish all this tonight. I'll pick it up on Sunday and finish it, Lord willing, on Sunday. But I've thought about this, and I've thought about the call of the ministry and the call to pastor. And I was reading Charles Spurgeon's lectures to my students and just reflecting on some of the things that he had said. You know, there's a part of the ministry that is never really talked about. There is a part of a man's calling that is never really dealt with. And you say, well, I'm a lady, or you might be here today, and you might say, well, I'm not called to pastor, I'm not called that. That's okay, but maybe you'll understand your pastor a little better if you listen. Maybe you'll understand and recognize the call when God gives it to other men, and you'll understand that. Maybe you can somewhat sympathize, I guess, with the trials and the heartache and the challenges that a pastor goes through in the ministry. And maybe if I can just show you a little bit tonight, and whoever else hears this, if I can just show you a little bit tonight and try to give you a little bit of understanding from a perspective of Paul here, I want to talk to you tonight. The first part of this message is going to be called Wounds of a Warrior, Evidences of God's Call. I want to talk to you about that. And then later on, I want to talk to you about the perilous proof of Paul's ministry, or the perilous proof of a pastor's ministry. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. But I want to talk to you about this tonight here, just the wounds of a warrior. You know, there are certain things that I'm going to, let me read this. Let me say this first before I read this, because we'll have a lot of scripture tonight. We're going to be all over the Bible, but particularly in chapter 6 here, and in chapter 11 is a mirror of this, where Paul is explaining it, where we'll really expound on that on Sunday. But it's kind of a mirrored chapter explaining this. But you will never, there are things about a man when God calls him, there are things, there are wounds that he gets. Jesus talked about this. David talked about this in the Psalms. He said, what mean these by these wounds? And he said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Jesus said that I was wounded is a prophetic about Jesus. But and then Jesus said that we would fellowship in his sufferings. And nobody, I think, understands that more than those that answer that call and give their lives for the ministry and for the Lord. No one understands that, probably to that extent. I'm not saying that you never go through that. I'm not trying to exalt anything. On the contrary, if this message can discourage you from ever getting into the ministry, fine, let it do that if it can do that. I say that in all sincerity. Because if you're going to do it the way the Lord would have you to do it, you are going to have wounds. You're going to have them. And you're going to be wounded in the house of your friends. You're going to be. It's just the way it's going to be. So Paul talks about this, and I don't think it's talked about enough. You know, it's funny, as I was reading lectures to my students, Charles Spurgeon, he talked a lot about the call of the ministry. And one of the things that he, and by the way, that book is profitable for anybody to read. Very profitable. But he talked about how he would discourage people that came to his college, men, that he said, we don't make preachers here. He said, preachers come here. We don't make them here. They're already called. They're already, and, you know, in trying from a human's perspective to look at that and to see that, right? But he said that he would try to discourage them when they came. If he saw that some things, he would try it. Why? Because if they could be that easily discouraged, not that he was playing a game on them, but he was just saying that it's not easy. It's not simple work if you want to do it the Lord's way. Right? It's not simple to be in a church that does things the Lord's way. You're going to, listen, tonight, you don't have to be a pastor to be able to reconcile this in your own life. You don't have to be a pastor to be able to look at some of these things and say, you know what? I know what you're talking about. Because we go through it together as a body, and we go through some of these same things together. It's just never forget that the nail is hit on the head. Right? Not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. I'm just speaking, those that are in front, in the forefront, the pastors, they smite the shepherd that the sheep would scatter. That's the goal. That's what it's about. And by the way, that's not an exaltation, because if you think this ministry has anything to do with exalting a pastor, or that this is some kind of exalted position, you really have a lack of understanding of a calling. A great lack. And if anybody gets in the ministry to think that it's some exalted position, no, it isn't. The only one that's to be exalted is Christ. There are men that self-exaltate and exalt themselves, that's true. But that's not the norm for people that are trying to serve the Lord. Right. Those that do that have their reward already, that's right. But let's get into this scripture and let's look, and then we'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says this, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Paul says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor." Now you think about this, what Paul is saying. He's saying, my ministry was proven by this, by honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. As deceivers, yet being true. Now, I'm not going to talk about that too much tonight, but let me just say this to you. You see what he said here. As deceivers, yet being true. Lied about. As deceivers and yet true. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. Understand that one. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians, please. And verse number 11, or chapter number 11, please, quickly. And we're going to get into this tonight. We're just going to get into the tip of the iceberg of some of these tonight. But I feel it is important, and I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has weighed this heavy on my heart to do this, to give you somewhat of an understanding. Second Corinthians chapter 11. We can start in verse number 17. Well, actually, verse number 16. Paul said, "I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little." Now, we're not going to talk about this tonight, but Paul is defending his ministry. We're going to talk about this on Sunday. But Paul is defending his calling, his ministry, his apostleship, what God had called him to do. He's defending it. He's speaking as a fool in some ways because he's trying to, he said, you don't listen to anybody else, so maybe you'll listen to a fool. He said to him. He said, that which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. See, they constantly went after Paul. They constantly attacked his authority. Why? Let me tell you why little devils do that. Here's why little devils do that. So they don't have to obey the Bible. But I'm going to help you with something. If I was the low-down, dirtiest dog in the whole world, you still have to obey God's word. You don't get any type of exemption. You still have to obey God's word, no matter if I was a devil or not. Amen. Isn't that right? Yeah, but that's what they try to do, don't they? Attack some authority, try to disparage somebody. Look, I don't know. Let me give you an example of this. I don't know if that Judge Roy Moore is the biggest whore that ever walked the face of the earth. I have no idea. I was not there. And I'm going to tell you something else, friend. You don't either because you weren't there. We don't know. I got a sneaky suspicion the timing is awful funny. But I don't know. I wasn't there. Right? But isn't it funny how his platform, really the whole point is the platform is being attacked. Because the Republican establishment hates what? They hate God. That's what they hate. I listened to that man today and he was quoting the King James Bible. Now, I'm not a Dominionist. I don't agree with half of the things he says, Brother Finney. I know he was off in his case. He didn't understand the difference between the first table of law and the second table of law when that case went down years ago. I got it. I get it. I'm not confused about any of that. My point is not defending that man. My point is there's a platform there that they hate. It's called They Hate God. That's it. They hate anything that looks like righteousness. They hate anything that smells like righteousness because they hate God. That's the truth. So if they can destroy someone they think is a Christian, they'll do it because they hate God. You get it? You know what most of them hate about Trump? That he has some conservative principles. That's what they hate about him. They don't hate the things that I hate about him. Right? Those things that are biblically righteous, they don't hate those things. What do they hate? Anything that has any semblance of any conservativeness or anything like that. That's what they hate. That's what they hate. Right? And again, I didn't vote for Trump. But my point is very simple. There's always been an attack on it. It's always been about authority. Dr. Dixon preached a sermon about this. It's always been about authority and hate for it. Absolute hate for it. To create doubt, to create division, to create hate. That's what it's about. That's what they did to Paul. Paul said, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Paul's getting real pointed. It's sarcasm, yes. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Paul said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Paul said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Now listen, this is his ministry. This is the proof of his ministry. Paul's saying this, that he'd been through all, he's still around, he didn't leave, he didn't quit. He didn't walk away. Right? Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night in the deep I have been in the deep. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. Listen. In perils. And we're going to cover this on Sunday. No. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, I'm just reading, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just wanted to read that to you because it's kind of a mirror of him explaining the things that he had been through. And then we're going to get into this and break some of this down tonight. And if I can get you to somewhat understand the ministry, somewhat understand that office of a bishop, and I don't mean the qualifications of a bishop, I mean the wounds of one. That's what I want. If I can get you to understand that, if I can get young men to understand that you know what? If you answer that call of God, you better be ready to be wounded. God will take the stars out of your eyes very quickly. Very quickly. You know, Paul made full proof of his ministry, and he told young Timothy to make full proof of his ministry, right? Young Timothy and Titus, that was. He told them to make full proof of their ministry. Why? He knew what they were going to go through. You know, Paul wrote these things under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Paul wasn't bragging when he talked about these things. He was preparing. Paul was preparing men to understand what the ministry is really about, what it means to be called of God, and what it means to serve God, and what it means to keep going. So we're going to look at this. The first thing he says, the first thing that Paul talks about is verse number 3. He says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now let me tell you what that doesn't mean first, and then I'll tell you what it means. It doesn't mean that no one will ever be offended at what you say. Right? It doesn't mean that when you preach, nobody will ever be offended at what you say. Everybody will love your words. Everybody will love everything you say. Well, if that was the case, then every apostle alive was a failure. Because all of them, with the exception of John, which they couldn't kill him, so they threw him on Patmos and God gave him a vision. Think about that one for a second. Right? God allowed him to, God put John on Patmos. You understand that, right? They threw him in a boiling pot. He jumped out of the pot and took off. History records that anyway. Not saying that's Bible, but we do know he was on the Isle of Patmos. We know that he was exiled there, but he was also brought back afterwards. History states that. We don't know everything. From the Word of God doesn't tell us everything about that. But anyway, the point is that all of those apostles were killed for what? Were they barbarians? Were they out killing people? Were they out? No, they were preaching. You know, it's recorded about young Timothy, that how he died in Martyr's Mirrors, I think, records it, how Timothy died. He was standing outside of this procession. They were having this goofy ceremony, and he rebuked them for their ridiculous idolatry, and they clubbed him in the head and killed him. I think Paul was trying to prepare those young men for what was ahead of them. Amen? I think it is a duty to prepare men to understand that, you know what, you're going to go through some things in the ministry. It says here, give no offense. Doesn't mean they're not going to be upset. What it means is this. It means that there's no scandalous or wicked thing or sinfulness that could be proven. It does not mean that you will be without accusation. It does not mean that at all. Why? Well, because Paul said under false report and under true. He said, as deceivers, yet being true. He was accused of everything. Paul was accused of being deceitful. Paul was accused of all kinds of things. And you know what? Paul kept preaching. Paul kept doing what God called him to do. So the Bible is saying give no offense means that you're like Teflon. If it's thrown at you, it doesn't stick. Right? It's not true. Can't be proven. And of course, we should watch how we deal with things, watch our temper and watch our behavior. As a pastor, they should pay their bills and be kind to their enemies. Men will accuse you of all kinds of things, but give no offense. Nothing that can be proven, nothing that sticks, nothing that is true about you. That the ministry be not blamed. Listen, the reason he said that is this. Paul knew it. Ever since he pastored, and I can tell you, as apostle and all the different offices that he held and everything that he did, you will always be accused. No matter what you do, you will always be accused. You will always be accused of something. That's the way it is. You look at the prophets, they were all accused, they were all brought in, and they were all killed. Right? Look at Naboth and his vineyard. What did Jezebel do? She got two men to say that he cursed God, and she was the one cursing God. So that's how witchcraft works, by the way. You ever notice that? The same thing they're accusing somebody of is what they are doing. That's witchcraft. That, my friend, is witchcraft. Plain and simple. Let that swirl around your head and figure that out for a little while. You'll come to a lot of conclusions. He goes on to say this, in all things, look at this in the next verse here. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In all things approving ourselves, right? He said, listen, in everything. And then he's going to commence to explain to you what that exactly means. How you approve yourself. How that happens. What you go through for that to happen. You know, there's been a lot of men that turn their back, and they turn their back to the plow, and they will not continue on. They say they're called, they want to be ordained, and they want to do something for God, but when the least bit of trouble comes their way, they leave. They're done. They walk away. They flame out. But Paul said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In all things. You think about that. You know, the Bible talks about this, and this is the same principle as he says in all things. Here's another verse. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. You think about that for a minute. You know, one of the mistakes that I have made, I can tell you as a pastor, is expecting others to endure the same hardness that I have. And it's a mistake that I've made. Putting too much upon those that can see and those that have to experience things that they weren't called to go through or to see or to deal with. I learned that the hard way. Learn that to my wife, not to expect her to endure that hardness, right? Well, that doesn't mean Christians don't all endure hardness, because we do. But there's a difference. There's a difference. God equips men for what he wants them to do. Whatever it is, whatever they're gifted with, amen? You think Brother Finney could write those things if God didn't equip him to do that? He couldn't, but God equipped him. Amen? Brother Ryan, those tracks, you can do that if God didn't equip you to do that. Amen? God equipped you to do that. That's a gift from God. Never to be taken lightly. Never to be taken as our own power, as our own success. But endure hardness, he says, as a good soldier. Why? Because you are going to go through hardness, hardships. It's going to happen to you. As a Christian and especially as a pastor, you are going to endure hardness. The very same people, there are people that will talk to you that will not talk to me. And they will not talk to me because of who I represent. They will not. Like Paul said, the offscouring. You know what that is? That's the scum off the bottom of your feet. It's the offscouring. Amen. But he says, you know what? Endure hardness. Endure it. And you could not endure it if you were not called to it. Couldn't. I know that. And God will remind you of that, by the way. He'll remind you of that by taking you through trials. Well, how do we do that? How do we endure that? What does he first say to us? He says, through patience. Isn't that what he said? Look at what he said here. Yeah, exactly. But in all things, approving ourselves as a minister of God in much patience. You know why it's much patience? Because the trial is not going to be over. When one's over, another one comes. And I can tell you that. I know that to be a fact. One is barely over when another one comes, or one starts when one is there. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3, turn there. Paul talks about this for the believer in his life. How much more the man that is called to do the will of God or the work of God. And not only so, Romans 5, 3, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He says, in much patience, approving ourselves, approving our ministry through much patience, not giving up when things get hard, not walking away when things get hard. And they get hard. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. Look what Paul says here. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. And Paul was a patient man. It took a lot to get to Paul, I believe. I really believe that. I think Paul put up with a lot of stuff. Think about that. This is the man that said that could write all Asia turned against me. You think you lost some friends? A whole continent turned against him. Right? Done with you. All of them. He said the whole thing did. Everybody. They all turned on him. But he says, he said one of his first things that he said, as a minister of God, as an apostle, but as a minister in an office of God, he says, in all patience. The patience was a sign of his calling. Do you understand that? The fact that he was able to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the fact that he was able to do that, it worked patience. The tribulations worked patience in him. Do you understand that? It worked a peaceable fruit of righteousness also in him. It was proof of his callings. Colossians chapter 1, please. Talking about patience in the ministry, I'll tell you what, you got to have some. It's going to get tried, too. Paul says in verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He did not only say patience, long-suffering, but with joyfulness. He had a lot of patience. What did he tell young Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. Bible talks about the elder men having patience, right? In the flock, they've got to have it too. All believers have to have it. They grow in that. It only grows through trials, though. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. Paul charged him, have patience. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So every time you and I pray, try to pray out of the trial, we're not letting patience have her perfect work. Right? God strengthened me through the trial. God, teach me what I need to learn. Man, and I'll tell you what. I've never had a college degree in theology, but I'll tell you what. I sure went through one in the last year and a half. I can tell you that. But it was God's college. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, please. Look what Paul said about his ministry. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Don't you see? Paul said, look at the struggles of my life for the Lord. Look what I have been through. Don't look at everything else, but look at that. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which come unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Why? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Paul knew it. He says his ministry was proven through patience. It's to continue on, trusting the Lord by faith, right? Add to your faith. Remember all the things we're to add to our faith? Yeah. Why are we... Paul had to, that was added. And you know what? When you go through trials, that is added to your faith as well. Patience. Paul went through it. Man, he went through it because he was an example. Amen? He said by much patience. In afflictions. Paul talked about the afflictions that he went through. That, listen, let me explain something to you. That is where patience is exercised, is through afflictions. Do you understand that, friend? That's where it's exercised. You and I want to say, you know what? I would love to fellowship in the Lord's sufferings. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Yeah, but you want to stop right there. And you don't want to know the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's a place we don't want to really go, do we? We don't want to suffer. We don't want to do that. I mean, nobody wants to suffer. I mean, but the point is that if it could just stop at the resurrection, right? No, it doesn't stop there, friend. It's the fellowship of His sufferings. Because the fellowship of His sufferings make you conformable unto His death. You know, I could never do the work that God has called me to do if He did not allow me to go through the things that He has. I would be too self-dependent. I would be. you would start to think that you were the one doing it.
But God will prove to everyone that you are not the one doing it. He is.
That's the difference. Over and over again, Paul said, the Lord delivered me. David said it. Excuse me. David said it. He said, out of it all, the Lord delivered me. David knew who his deliverer was. But Paul talked about his work being proven, his ministry being proven, his wounds, by his wounds. Right? Yes, he said, I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul mean by that? Exactly what he's explaining here. Those were the wounds. All these Hebrew Israelites, all these, the sacred namers and all those other people, they're all trying to prove their ministry by the way they said things, by the law that they kept. And Paul said, no. Paul said, no. He said, I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are my wounds. And let me tell you something, friend. I've been through a lot in 10 years of ministry, and I'll tell you this, there ain't no man alive that can take that away from me. Not one man alive, through any lies, through any false accusations, through any betrayals, through the knife in the back, they can't ever take away the wounds that I have from that. I bear them. And they're war wounds. And I'm not ashamed of them either. I don't have to be ashamed of them. I didn't do anything but serve the Lord. In much afflictions, Paul talked about. Psalm 34:19. Look at that. Boy, good thing I only did half of this one. Yeah, exactly. Psalm 34:19. Many. See that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many. Colossians 1:24. Paul says his ministry was proven by the afflictions that he went through. Those wounds that never go away. They never go away. Not on this side. Amen? No, they don't. Yep. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 24. Paul said this, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Look at this in verse number 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Friend, that's the ministry right there. And that's why it is worth it. That's why I haven't ditched it. That's why I haven't walked away from it. Not because of my own strength, but because God did call me. Believe me. When I say this to you, if Satan could kill me, he would have done it already. I believe that. What's that? We'll go ahead and read that. I'm sorry. I moved to the next one there. Amen. 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 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily when we were yet with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Paul said, listen, I told you the way it was going to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Or 2 Timothy chapter 1, sorry. Leave 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Look what he said here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul said he was a preacher. See that? Second Timothy chapter 3. He's instructing young Timothy here. And he's saying the same thing basically that he said to the Corinthians. He's instructing them. He's teaching them. Again, he talks about the persecutions, afflictions which came unto him in Antioch and Iconium. He reminds them of those. You know, I answered the call to preach 15 years ago. Probably longer than that, I would say, when I was a four-year-old boy. I was not saved then, but that'll be hard to understand. I can't explain it exactly. I can't, but God knew. That's all I can tell you. God knew. I don't understand it. I know I wasn't saved then. I didn't get saved till I was 25. But I'll tell you, in 10 years' time, I've seen a lot of things. But I didn't get here by taking shortcuts either. What the Lord brought me through, I needed every lesson he gave me. And that's tough to receive. Because you're going to come a time in your Christian life where God's going to put you through some lessons, and you aren't going to want to sit down and listen. But you're going to want to fight them. You're going to not want to listen. You're going to want to stop your ears and not listen and believe that you don't deserve to go through what you're going through. But when you submit yourself to God and you allow him to teach you the lessons that he has for you, he will bless you and he will carry you through them. And you'll learn more. And no man will be able to take away the lessons that you learn through those. No man. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. He says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Why did he tell him that? Because you're going to have them. Timothy, you're going to have them. I know, when I first answered the call to preach, I thought everybody's going to love me. Brother Finney, I mean, I thought everybody's going to love me. And when I was ordained and sent out, man, I thought Northfield was just waiting for me. Yeah, they were waiting for me, all right, but not that way. I thought they were just going to wait for me and open wide their arms to Northfield's favorite son. I told my wife, and she laughed. I said, look at that, 500 people. She's like, 500 people. Yeah. She's like, 500 people. No, you know what I got? Why don't you go away? Why don't you quit doing that? Why don't you give up? I've had pastors tell me that. Why don't you quit? I'm at the lowest part of your life. The biggest challenges in your ministry, the greatest heartache, the greatest pain, had a pastor say, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just walk away? He's the one that was in correspondence through email. Yeah, he was. It didn't work. Because it kind of made me think about it, and I was, like, tortured by it all. Not thinking about doing it, because I would never do it. But by the grace of God anyway. But he wanted to discourage. And you know what it did, though? It kind of made me go, oh, yeah? Because then I started to understand that I was listening. I was hearing the hiss of a serpent. Oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that my whole ministry. Oh, now I recognize who you are. No, you're not my friend. You're a serpent. Oh, I know who you are now. You're the devil. That's who you are. I get it now. You want me to quit and walk away. So does Satan. Get in line. A lot of people do. But I didn't call me. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul says, hey, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Through all of it. Through all of it. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't walk away. He endured it by the grace of God. And when you see a man walk away and give up and he's finished, it's because God never called him. Mm-mm. That's why they give up, because they were never called. Paul says in afflictions, how about this, in necessities, in his daily needs. What arose from his wants or denotes an unavoidable calamity, a want of food, a want of drink, a want of thirst, nakedness, whatever he had been through, whatever his necessities were, Paul said, I just kept going. He said, my ministry was proven by those things. It was tried by those things. Next, he says, in distresses. You know what distresses are? Let me tell you what his distresses are, because I've been through some of them in the ministry. Let me tell you what they are. They are where you have nowhere to turn but up. That's necessities, or that's distresses. Where you have nowhere to turn but to look up to God, where there is no earthly deliverer, there is no end in sight of the affliction or the distress that you are in. You are locked in your own mind of darkness and depression and discouragement and blackness. And there's no earthly place to turn. Where only God can unlock that and shine light in there. Paul says his ministry was through distresses, where he was boxed in. He was dependent solely upon God. Personal rejection of former friends. People you love turn their back on you. Walk away. Whether it was shipwrecks, plots to murder him, charges laid against him, his anxiety for the churches that he dealt with, in all distresses, he had patience. He continued on. David talked about distresses in Psalm 107, verse number 6. He said, Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. See, that's why God puts you in him, so you'll cry out to him. You understand that? That's a simple lesson, isn't it? That's a little too simple. You're going to make that a little more complex, right? No. It's hard enough as it is for you to listen to it and obey it, and for me to. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, Paul said. Man. Paul got to the point in his Christian life, in his walk with God, for the ministry, that he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Why? Because it was the seal It proved who he was. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's what he said. He said, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul knew about that. He understood that. How about this? He said, in stripes and imprisonments. You think about all the men that their ministries were proven by prison. A lot of them, starting with most of the apostles, the martyrs. How about men modern days sitting in jail for the gospel's sake? How about Greg Dixon? He sat in there because he didn't want them to have it. Because of IBT and the raid and all this, the FBI came in and all of them. Was it the FBI, brother? It was the FBI, wasn't it? The United States government. Pick one. But pick one of the alphabet soup. They came in there and raided them. He sat in jail for a little time, he said. Told me the story one time, a few days, I think it was, maybe. Yeah. No, I didn't. I'll hear that sometime. Oh, I'm sure. How about the 40 imprisoned Baptist pastors? One of the reasons we even have a Bill of Rights today in America were all those men that suffered in jail, sat there in prison. How about the anonymous prisoner in Newgate? Sat there in prison. What did he do wrong? Nothing. Preached. Right? How about all of our, how about our Baptist forefathers in stripes? How about Obadiah Holmes? You've whipped me as with roses. Right? There's a guy that sat in prison, or sat in jail, and then he was beaten. For what? For what I'm doing right now. It was the seal of his ministry. Proof. Yep, Paul said he was the prisoner of the Lord in Ephesians 4:1. He knew who he was the prisoner of. He knew how he got there. You know, if you and I took that approach in understanding that the Lord allows that things to happen to us sometimes, because he wants us there. If he didn't want us there, Satan wouldn't be able to put us there. Right? Paul talked about that, didn't he? He said, stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. How about in tumults? What is that? Agitation, uproars, irregular or confused commotion. Great noise, insurrections. That's called a mob. They were mobbing them. They started gathering around them, getting angry and mad. Well, he must have been a wicked man, right? Remember that? When they took Paul, they took him out from the midst of those people. He said, aren't you that wicked guy that led this cult out and did all this stuff? Paul said, no, I didn't do that. That's not me. But they accused him of it, didn't they? Aren't you that wicked guy that led all those people astray? He said, no, I'm not that guy. But that was a tumult, right? That was a great noise. It was an insurrection. Right? Because of the gospel, agitations are tossed to and fro. They were unsettled in their state of life. Imminent dangers tossed to and fro. That's what Paul's talking about in tumults. He was tossed to and fro. He was always in an uproar. Wherever he went, he caused an uproar. What is it, uproar? What does it say? No small stir. And every time we preach in Northfield, what happens? No small stir. If you talk about feminism, you're definitely going to make some women mad on Facebook. Wowzers. And they're probably listening. I hope you get saved. Because if you do, you won't be a little nasty Jezebel anymore, running your big old dirty mouth. You got a nasty mouth. You need to get saved. You're in trouble with God. But you know what? He had them. He had those tumults. He had those. the whole town was in an uproar, right? We see that, right? We go out and preach somewhere. What happens? Man, these kids down in Northfield down here, they all crowded around us. We caused an uproar, right? Singing songs, stopping traffic, right? You turn the world upside down. That's what happens, right? Paul said it was proof of his ministry, right? How about in labors he talked about? In labors. Paul said he labored more abundantly than they all. His labor proved his ministry. His work that he did proved his ministry. It showed, it illustrated what he was all about. Do you understand that Paul is laboring more abundantly than all of them, and he's being persecuted more than all of them? Because it was what? A testimony of the grace of God. That's why. It was God's testimony of his grace to Paul, and that it was God that was doing him. God said to Paul, he said, I will send him far away from here to the Gentiles. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Right? And he did suffer more than anybody. But Paul said, in labors more abundantly, right? He labored more abundantly than they all. He worked and he worked and he worked for the Lord. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, he said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. He said he labored. How about in watchings he talked about? You know what that means? It means he was up all night, couldn't sleep. I don't know any pastor that hasn't been through that. I'm not saying other Christians don't go through that because I know they do, but what I'm saying is I don't know any pastor that hasn't been through that, hasn't sat up late at night and not been able to sleep in watchings. God sometimes does that to his children. They don't have to be a pastor for him to do that too. Sometimes God does that to his children. He takes sleep from them so they'll pray. If God takes sleep from you, go pray. Go pray. Right? Just pray. Just start to pray. Right? Sometimes God does that. And to his servants, he'll do that. To his pastors, he'll do that. He'll take their sleep away so they'll pray. And they'll seek his face. In fastings. Sometimes Paul was destitute of food. And I don't mean just religious fasting. Sometimes he was starving. I thank God I've never been through that. But Paul did go through that. But he said his ministry was proven by these things. We haven't even got into the real crux of the issue of what Paul really suffered and the stuff that hurt him even more than even some of these things. This was the outward persecution. There is an inward persecution. Wounded in the house of their friends. That takes place. It is much worse. Much harder to take. But Satan is very deceptive. He is very deceptive. And a lot of times people don't realize. I want you to notice something here, and I'm done for tonight. We're going to stop. But I want you to notice what Paul says before he explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because I'm going to pick this up on Sunday. But I want you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 on your own here tonight, or whenever you do your Bible reading. He talks about a false Jesus in the same chapter where he defends his ministry and what he has been through. Look what he talks about in verse number 14, actually verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Then Paul tells you what a real pastor is. What a real preacher is. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why some people flame out. Some people get out and some people lose it. Some people believe that they're called to the ministry and they're not. Because it never cost him anything. And that's what Paul... That's what Paul was explaining there, and I'll explain more on Sunday. It never cost him anything. They didn't pay anything. They don't have any wounds from it. I get a kick out of people when they leave a church or when they have a problem with a pastor or anything else. They know it all. They've got it all figured out. Even though their lives are in turmoil, and we all know it. They can fool anybody they want to, and they put the little fake thing online, but... We know what's really going on. God knows especially. But let me tell you something. The reason why some of those people, and I've seen men tell me they were called to preach, and they're not here anymore. I've seen them. And I don't care who hears this. If you want to let us hear about it, I don't care. I'm where I'm at because God put me there. You try to move me and God will move you. That's what's going to happen. But I'll tell you this, the reason why is because they wanted a ministry and it didn't cost them anything. They wanted, 10 years of ministry, and wounds did. They wanted it overnight. And God doesn't work that way. Not at all. It's not how God works. It'll never happen that way. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for this book. Thank you for the afflictions and the distresses and the challenges that you brought us through, that you brought me through, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to live for you. Help us to always count the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.